losers
help themselves.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. How are you tonight, Andrew?
Well, I have a little bit of a throat thing going on, so if I sound extra smooth and, you know, sultry.
This is the smooth jazz version of Service Exactly. Desk.
You're listening to 89.3 The Jazz Hands with your host, The Fuzz. This hour, we got some nice lineup here going for you. Wow. I think this is a record time in how fast we got off topic. We weren't even on topic and we got off topic.
This is the topic now. That's it. We've completely changed our podcast.
This is now a jazz podcast. This is now a jazz podcast. I hope everyone's okay with that that's listening.
We do many services on the Service Desk podcast. Not including jazz, because I have no clue about music.
Exactly. No, I know a little about music, but nothing about jazz, so we're going charted waters here.
We could just make things up. That'd be fun.
Oh, right? Exactly. Nothing on the internet's real anyway, so.
Right? This is all just made up. I'm really a robot. People don't know that.
I'm actually a bear on a unicycle.
Oh, awesome. I do love a good bear on a unicycle.
So, steering this in the target that is our podcast, how was your day?
My day was pretty good, actually. Other than learning some interesting things about the most recent Windows update that are a little disturbing. Yeah, for the most part, things are going well.
I'd actually like to hear about that. I haven't heard anything nervous.
So the latest Windows update, which would be the fall, I don't even know if they have a name for it. It's just 1809, which somebody pointed out is the date. And I know I realized 18 was the year, but it took me a while to realize that 09 is the month. Anyway. Yay, Americans figuring out other people's dating systems.
At least it doesn't start with the year, you know?
It does. 1809 is 18, 2018.
Oh, I completely missed that.
09 is the month.
Well.
Anyway, so I didn't realize that. So that was something fun to learn. But Windows, sometimes when it's doing its update, will just, you know, delete your documents folder. The folder will still be there, but everything within it will be gone. So one user reported losing over 200 gigabytes of documents that he had stored in his folder. Thankfully, he had a backup.
That, out of any folder on my computer, that's one that I would like to, you know, keep.
Right?
Well, let me rephrase that. Behind my Steam games library, that's the one folder that I would like to keep.
Yes, but your Steam games could also be re-downloaded.
True, but they're like 80 gigs. Ooh. That's significant time.
Yeah, that's painful. And you'd probably lose your progress.
Yeah. No, but that's really disturbing. I can't imagine that's a feature in the new update.
Oh, no, it totally is. It helps you start fresh.
I suppose I can't say that that's not true.
No, it is obviously not intended to be a feature of the new update. But yeah, so that's fun. Also, there are certain versions of Intel. Oh, I've forgotten which one. I should have looked it back up. But something with an Intel driver works so poorly that they will actually pop up a screen saying you have that driver, and it basically tells you you can't install the update until Intel does whatever update they need to do for that particular driver. Windows is blocking you from being able to update because it will completely crash things.
I think we're going to come into a... I wouldn't go as far as say rough, but interesting next couple years as the industry moves away from Windows 7.
Yeah.
Because right now, so many people are building for both. But Windows 7 is going to die here. Like 2020 is... I mean, the end of support for the most people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see, you know, once we finally get over to 10. I see rumors that future Windows updates are going to be a lot less painless because they talk about how they're going to be able to update the operating system without even needing to do restarts.
You mean a lot.
So, yeah, that should be painless. Interesting to see. But definitely that whole deleting your own personal files kind of shows just how reliant we are on other companies to keep our data safe.
And
the importance of backups, which we've done a podcast about.
Yeah, it's one of our most downloaded podcasts, actually, which is interesting. I also know that what you were talking about with the way Windows is looking at doing updates as far as not needing mm-hmm. to be quite as invasive, it's partially because they're trying to base their systems on a Linux kind of thing where you can update the kernel, which I do not fully comprehend what that means, but the base operating system pieces without having to do a restart, which helps with stability in some ways, because if you don't have to restart your machine to do the update, that means in theory, it shouldn't affect things as badly, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense. It's able to kind of check in with what it's supposed to be doing as it's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In theory, it'll be good. Huh. We'll see.
Well, nice. That was really any better news than I had. Yeah. Any better topic, yeah.
Kim here with an update. So we recorded this nearly a month ago, and we happened to do so in the 4 days that the 18.09 update was actually available for people. Since then, Microsoft has completely pulled the update. It's been over a month now, and theoretically, they will reintroduce it. But you don't have to worry about it until they do reintroduce it, because there's nothing that you can download right now. So if you weren't affected, you're safe. Yay! Now back to the regularly scheduled podcast. So in my podcast with Sam, I mentioned that malware is able to like fake looking like a bank, and that's kind of the mm-hmm. the way that they're getting people's information.
Yeah,
it's real bad on Android, real bad. All these apps are getting into the Google Play Store, and thankfully Esset and Malwarebytes are on it, but they are finding that random apps like myhoroscope.com or whatever are having this malware in them that takes banking information, especially from like your banking apps or your whatever app, and uses them against you and hacks into all your stuff. So don't download free apps that you are not needing and are not comfortable using.
And probably nothing that is new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's not always, like, a foolproof thing, but I always feel a little safer if an app has been on the Play Store for, like, years.
On the market for a while.
And it has, like,
yeah,
a million reviews talking about how it works.
Even if they're, but, like,
no, that's
this bug happened in version 2.0.
Yeah.
At least they're saying that it functions the way it's supposed to, and it hasn't been removed for being malware.
Well, that's good to know about the malware on the phones.
So be careful, because we all do everything on our phones now. Don't download random crap you don't need.
You know what we are doing even more and more often on our phones, too?
Banking?
It's a novel idea, but we're starting to communicate with each other.
That's not what you use a phone for. You use it for looking up kitty gifts.
That's what it used to be used for. But this is really far back into history. Uh-huh. But phones actually used to be used to talk to people.
That's crazy, Andrew.
And that is kind of what I think we should talk about today.
Phones being used for communication?
Well, just communication as a whole, you know?
Like, when I chat with people.
Exactly. So, today's topic is going to be about communication. Kind of, I thought about, you know, maybe breaking it up and going voice communication, video communication, text communication. But I've noticed a trend where most communication systems, apps, programs seem to be taking all of these and putting them into one.
Like,
so it used to be that you had your AOL Messenger, you had your voice over IP, like Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, and you would even have your, like, Skype, mm-hmm. you know? But now, like, if you look, I've seen, like, Skype is very much has a text-based chat system that's built in that a lot of people just use.
That's my work chat, Skype for Business.
Yep. So I think it would be, I'd like to kind of start off on the business side of things and kind of more go into personal.
Yeah. So
I know you mentioned you had some familiarity with a program called Slack.
Oh, yeah. Do we want to start with a little history of where these messaging things came from?
Sure. Yeah.
Take a guess as to how long ago the first computer messaging system existed.
I am going to say in the 80s.
The first multi-user operating system that had a communication tool built in was in 1961.
Wow. That is a lot further than I would have imagined.
So that was at MIT. They had compatible time-sharing system, which 30 users could be logged into one computer at the same time. And they could communicate with each other while they were logged in and send messages. And then that upgraded as the computers upgraded. And even the Commodore 64, which in 1982 was all the rage for home computing and hooked up to like your TV to be a monitor. They had a kind of chat system that was like a bulletin board system. So you could exchange messages back and forth. Or sorry, no, that one had the text-based messages to each other's via a modem. But you had to have a special modem connected to your Commodore 64.
I knew there was some of those old systems that just surprisingly had network capabilities, like the Sega Genesis. Yeah. You can get an add-on. So that's interesting that it actually had a communication tool built in. I had no idea.
Yeah. And so that was Q-Link, which then turned into AOL, which was one of the other first messaging systems computer-wise.
I know that name. Which I think is where most people listening to really any podcast, or just most people, would say that they kind of got their start, if they were in the 90s at all, was AOL and MSN.
AOL, MSN.
AOL and, yeah, MSN Messenger. Yeah.
Those kind of things. Or if you were a really big geek and into it even earlier, there were ICQ channels that were...
Is that like IRC?
IRC. Sorry, ICQ was the That was another messaging tool. IRC channels that you could download special software and log into somebody else's server and chat with people. And in my case, throw turnips, because that was something I learned to code.
I have no response to that, so... You caught me off guard there, Kim.
What? No one expects the turnip throwing. That's part of the fun of it. Anyway, so all of these kind of chat things were all chat. And eventually they grew up and the internet grew up and people were like, hey, I want to actually talk to each other. And that's when like the voice over IP stuff started. And now, like you said, most of the things do all of the things, and you can usually do a chat, a video chat, and a voice chat all over the same kind of protocol, which is lovely.
And I think we had to kind of unfortunately just wait for time to take its course, because especially when you do voice and video, that does take a significant amount of encoding to make sure it sounds good. And a lot of bandwidth as well. So, you know, back in the days when a pitcher took, you know, 20 seconds to load. You know, I can't imagine what voice communication would have sounded
like. The websites with the dancing and the,
yeah,
they would take forever to load, and then you would just see like dancing pandas or something. Oh my gosh. Anyway, off topic.
So one of the best applications I've seen, I'm seeing this more and more as I see time goes on, is companies are starting to realize that these chat applications aren't just AOL. They're not just MSN. Being able to communicate with your coworkers outside of an email,
oh my gosh,
is really beneficial. Like, I can't imagine doing my job on so many different levels without that. And one of the biggest ones out there, like I said before, I know, is Slack. I've only played around with it myself and tried to create use cases to show it at my supervisors, but I've never actually been able to use it professionally.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I've used a number of tools in my business world. I've used Slack. That was by far the most fun, which sounds kind of strange, but like there's more GIF support. And so I happened to work at a kind of technology driven company at the time. I was using that. All of my geek friends would send each other really silly GIFs of things. And that was, it made the workplace more enjoyable, because like that's the kind of thing that, you know, if you send that in an email, people are going to groan because why are you sending this in an email? But if you're just having a conversation and you drop in a weird cat GIF, it like makes the conversation more interesting and you can add more dynamics to it while being on the phone with a customer that you're just tearing your hair out because you can't understand what they're trying to explain to you, which is helpful sometimes when you're in the service desk. Not that my customers ever do that to me.
But yeah, so this, it's very much just kind of a, I think from what I understand with Slack, there's not much, I think there's plugins that you can add into it. So you can put in like voice and video, if I'm right.
Oh.
But mainly it's just kind of text.
I've not used it in the last couple of years. I think it works like with Zoom. Or at least that's where it was when I was using it a few years back.
There's just this host full of programs out there that companies use. If you're using them at a company, chances are it probably is more focused on the text chat.
Yes.
Which is kind of a little more professional, I guess, in my opinion. You know, you're able to do your work, be helping a customer, be working on your spreadsheets or finances while, you know, interacting with your coworkers at the same time.
Yeah. And when you're in a professional setting, it's really handy because sometimes, you know, somebody's working on an email and they're trying to get something done. And so if you text them your question, it's just a lot better for them because they can see it flashing and then get to it when they finish their thought or they do their whatever, versus having to answer the phone or have you walk up and interrupt whatever they're doing. So in that way, it's a lot better for workplace getting alongness. But in general, the different kinds of chat things are all very intuitive. So we of the, I grew up in AIM or I grew up in ICQ, I comprehend this. This makes sense to me. So the people we need to help today are those who are not, like, why do we do this? Why is this here? And why does it work to put little hearts here or face that's frowning? Like, what is this?
Yeah, I definitely feel like when you're able to chat with someone, especially over text, you lose a certain amount of formality that you have to put on
emailing
when you're speaking face to face with people.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So you're able to kind of get to the heart of a matter. You know, there's certain give or takes here and there when it comes to the topics that you cover. But for the majority of it, it's kind of like just getting to the meat of a discussion. And that's what I usually find in a chat conversation, is you can kind of be, it sounds bad, but you can be more blunt. And that's both in just humor and seriousness and you know, let's just get to the heart of the problem that we're trying to figure out.
So you can chat with somebody, so that, hey, Andrew, I need answer to X, as opposed to, hey, Andrew, how you doing?
How's the family? Yeah, because when you're seeing someone like face to face, you do kind of feel the need to go ahead and small talk, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that is one of the reasons why I've seen certain applications, you know, you're not just having one or the other when it comes to the different things. One of the big players right now in the industry when it comes to personal communication, kind of more on the recreational side, is a program called Discord. Yes,
which is blocked at my company.
I've seen this just blow up recently. So before this, what a lot of like my friends and a lot of people that I would talk to would have to do is you would have like Facebook, which is very much just your standard. You're putting through a text chat, something like that. But then you would also have like your voice over IP. So you would have TeamSpeak or Ventrilo, something like that, where you can, if you're gaming with people or, you know, you want to chat with someone on the internet using your voice, you would go there. And then you would have Skype. But Discord kind of takes a lot of those together, and it puts them together, I think, in a very nice way. It's probably my favorite application right now for chat. But that's where all the cool kids are hanging out, you know?
And hanging out out, because if we're jumping over to the non-business side, the Discord, one of the nice things is you can build communities around yourself or jump into communities that already exist, and you can have... oh, say 32 of them, and be able to jump between and have conversations simultaneously.
And that's the great thing, is that you're able to just kind of hang out with friends in one. Another one might be a community from your town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just might be a Discord relating to your city. Another one might be a community of people who are into a hobby.
Or you have 32 of somebody in that hobby.
Yep.
I'm just a little Discord crazy.
And the great thing about Discord, too, and other applications like it, is that while I find most of the communication is done by a text, there's also the option to have voice.
And video.
Mm-hmm. So... kind of like we were saying, text usually becomes the default communication just because it's easier. You could be a little less informal. You don't have to worry about the formalities behind everyday conversations.
Yeah. And so jumping back to the business momentarily, on the business side of things, one of the reasons that businesses use these is to help. Collaboration is the ultimate goal. And so when you are communicating in more of a business manner, like, you can keep it shorter and you can get to the heart of the matter faster, but you do still need to be polite about it. So if you want to, you know, pop in and be like, hey, Andrew, do you have a second? I've got a question. You can do that first. That's not necessary, because if they don't, they'll ignore you.
Yeah, they can just, you know, leave that. Comment that you're, or they can leave that message that you sent to them kind of unanswered until they have that moment.
Yeah. But on the other side of that, be available. If you want to have collaboration and you want to work with the other teammates, which maybe you're super swamped and you need to like shut out the world that day, that's fine. But when you are available and you're just having a normal day, be available to others in your company, because you will have very succinct, to the point conversations via chat that will help other people get stuff done faster. They'll be able to get their questions answered without having your day completely derailed. And sometimes you can have a little bit of like a connection point, which is not like more interpersonal. Like, hey, I heard your, I don't know, cat died. Sorry. Like,
and that kind of goes along the lines of, you know, it's meant to be kind of more in the moment issues or in the moment questions that you have. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's something like, hey, for future reference, this is something that you need to keep in mind. Or, hey, you know, I hear, you know, you're having some problems at home. We're here for you. That kind of thing. That might be more geared towards an email.
or in person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or phone.
Exactly.
But yeah, so like in the chat setting area, also make sure, especially if you're in a big group chat, keep it business or something relating to the whole group. Don't throw out weird whatever jokes that you may have with one person in the group, because then you're going to derail the entire conversation if you explain it, or they're just going to wonder about you if you don't. But yeah, and keep in mind the setting in general. Just be treat it like a very brief work conversation, and don't be that person that clogs chat with a million things. Also, remember that with many of these, things are recorded. So especially for Skype, I know that in every conversation I'm in, it is in my email. I can go back to my Outlook and I can look through past conversations.
Yes,
and
very
it's
much.
All recorded. So that's both good and bad, because then, you know, if you need to be like, hey, Bob, I told you this thing a week ago, you can go back and actually prove that you told Bob that thing a week ago. But also, Bob can do the same to you. So...
And so can your supervisor.
Yes. Keep that in mind. I always assume, especially when I'm at work, that somebody's watching me. So, yeah, be very careful with that kind of thing.
Those are some good points. And I think a lot of those transfer as well over into the personal side that we keep, you know, bouncing back between is that so many of these are just people talking to each other, you know?
Oh, yes.
It's all digital. And it, once you start using them, you know, if you're not familiar with them, I think I would hazard to say things would probably come naturally, you know?
Yeah.
It's very much kind of relying on some old, how do you say?
Old mantras. If you can't think of anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Exactly. And it falls back on old habits as well. So, you know, there's certain things that you do in a letter writing that you don't do on a phone call. So it kind of borrows things from each of those different situations and just kind of do what comes naturally.
Mm-hmm. And also, when it comes to like figuring out how to use things, a lot of times you can look up pretty much any of them. If you're like, Slack, how do I share a GIF? You can go and search for it, and chances are very, very good that Google will answer whatever question you may have. Sometimes, especially at work, there may be things that are disabled or things that are controlled differently. So if it's a specific to work thing, you may want to ask an administrator or your supervisor. Maybe GIFs aren't allowed. I don't know. Or they don't work. Or they'll bring down the system because you use too many cat GIFs. I don't know.
Oh, my.
Not a real story, but it would be hilarious if it was.
I was really hoping it was.
But yeah, and also, don't be afraid to ask questions in the chat itself. The people around you will know. And I know in Discord especially, there are a million things people can add to their servers called bots, and they will help you do things. Sometimes I am certain you can make a bot so that you throw turnips if you really want to. But, you know, ask people about whatever is available in that particular server, or if you want something to be available, let them know.
Well, I thought that was that's about all I got.
Yeah, unless we dive more deeply into each one. Which
I think we kind of have. I mean, we talked about at work, you know, your common ones are going to be Slack and Skype, and on the more personal recreation side, pretty much the powerhouses right now are Discord and then Facebook Messenger.
I have seen people use Zoom, especially for the video portion. It works really well with a broadcasting thing that people use in Twitch. We'll get to Twitch another day. That's a whole another ballpark. But it's really interesting to see how they all work together. And like, you can use Google Hangouts, or you can use Zoom, or you can use all of... Oh, Google's the other one.
Yes, there you go. Google Hangouts. I forgot about that one, which I think is an all too common thing. It was such a good platform, but...
It still gets used.
People just never really jumped on it, which I wish people would have.
But yeah, it's... And I think it's really interesting that even Facebook now is getting into the business realm, which I don't know how well that'll go, but it fascinates me that they're even trying.
And that kind of hits on the other point, is that you're probably not going to just choose what app or what platform you're going to be on. You're going to be using it based on what community you're with is using. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to use Discord now. If you use Discord, but you know no one else is using Discord, then you're going to be quite lonely. So that's where the whole big market share thing comes in, where, you know, you have your big powerhouses that tend to be kind of the hub of everything. And it changes as time goes on. Like when Discord came in and they started doing everything really well, people just started moving over there naturally.
Yeah. And I think ultimately what drives what's being used is what works the best and what's going to support things going forward. So I think that's part of the reason that Slack is big, because it can interface with other things. And it's really responsive as far as people in the IT industry trying to, you know, get things done. You can talk to the people at Slack and be like, hey, I'd be interested in this being a feature. And they'll tell you, oh, that'll be a few years, or, oh yeah, that's in our next update. I think that's huge. Whereas things like Microsoft Link, which isn't a thing anymore, really, but it exists, and it's not really being updated because Microsoft's going to Skype now that they've purchased it. But it wasn't responsive. Like, you couldn't talk to Microsoft and be like, hey, Microsoft, we'd really like this to be in our chat tool.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, there's a few other things I'd like to say to Microsoft, but anyway. The other things, don't be afraid to ask in Google is the main things. If you're trying to figure out how to do a thing in a chat, learn to, if an edit thing exists, use it. It's wonderful. Discord has an edit button. I wish Twitter did too, but it doesn't. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you've covered it quite well. I haven't used a lot of chat applications in work just until recently. So. Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is that once you've learned one, you get kind of the feel of how they go, and then all the others are just kind of, you fall in line with. It's not
very
so bad.
Very true. Yeah.
So it's like anything. You do it once, and you become more familiar, and then it doesn't have to be scary. And if you are scared, talk to one of your friends in real life first, and chat with them on it, and then it'll go better, because they will help you.
As with most things.
Fair.
You can also ask us for help.
Hey,
drop us a line. How can people go about doing that?
We are on Twitter. You can find us Service Desk Pod there, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/ Service Desk Podcast. Service Desk Podcast at gmail.com is how you submit a ticket for our system. We have a website, servicedeskpodcast.com.
And at servicedeskpodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcast, you can go back and listen to our archive and see our past episodes. While you do that, if you're doing that on a podcast website or service like iTunes or Player FM or Stitcher, we would love it if you could rate us, maybe leave a comment, talk about how much you liked it, or, you know, but any sharing or commenting is very much appreciated, and it really helps out.
There's also something called Podchaser, which is relatively new, that you can leave us a comment on, and on podchaser.com, and look up tons of others, because it's really well organized. I like the categories there.
I'll be checking that out.
Yeah. Post-recording Kim here again. We actually have a contest going right now where you can win a ticket to PodCon, which is happening in Seattle on the 19th and 20th, I believe, of January 2019. You leave us a review on iTunes or Podchaser or something like that and send a screenshot of that review to me, Metzgirl, over on the Twitters. You can review both Service Desk and Beholder's iPod for an entry to win that ticket that also comes with a lovely swag bag. So rate, review, give us 5 stars, and enter the contest.
But as always, I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim.
And we're your techie friends.